Essentially, when we're looking at prevention and awareness around sexual misconduct and sexual violence, we want to look at what are the particular challenges that our students face and what are our goals in doing programs around these kinds of issues for our students. And at a residential campus, any residential campus, a lot of what they're looking at is how to reduce instances of sexual misconduct on campus, right? That tends to be the number that they're looking at. They're also looking at general awareness around the issue. But when you're at a commuter campus where students do not live here, a lot of the experiences that they're having around sexual misconduct are happening in their lives and not here on campus. So the challenge for us is, what kind of outcomes are we looking for with our students to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to help them avoid situations in their lives and in the community that might cause them to confront any kind of sexual misconduct? How can we increase their awareness about what they can do to help themselves and others avoid issues? But also to understand that we, as an educational institution and as their home campus, want to be able to help them address any issues that they have and help ameliorate any problems that persist in their lives, and especially those that might affect their education as a result of any kind of bad experiences they've had, either prior to coming here or after coming here.
I know that even during this month of October, there have been a number of programs that have been already initiated by the Office of Student Activities, taking the lead on many of these and helping in educating and making people aware of the problems of students being involved with dating violence, as well as with other types of domestic violence they may encounter in their lives. Tell us about how some of these programs, these discussions have happened so far to kind of enlighten people if they're not aware of it.
Well, we have something called Sex Signals on Campus, which is an interactive performance between two people on stage. And what they do is sort of enact various relationship scenarios and invite the audience to kind of comment on what they see occurring on stage, right? And so if there's a man and a woman interacting on stage and maybe they don't know each other, and the performers play out scenarios and invite the audience to kind of hold up a sign, is what they did, to say stop, when they saw the behavior of one of the other people getting to a place that was bordering on inappropriate or even illegal, right? So because sexual harassment is basically unwanted contact, and it's very important to understand the cues so that the person who might be about to perpetrate bad behavior kind of is aware, but also that the person who is perhaps being the recipient of unwanted contact knows enough to say that that's not appropriate and that they don't want it. So in many ways, what we're trying to get students to do is be more confident and comfortable speaking out about their own needs and desires and what their boundaries are. We also had a great panel, and this is a very indirect way of looking at prevention. We had a panel of people whose work in the community is involved in responding to any kind of sexual, mostly sexual assault and sexual violence, and what the process is that happens when a student reports an incident of sexual assault, perhaps. We had a SANE nurse, which is a sexual assault nurse examiner, a prosecutor, a rape crisis counselor, somebody who represents minorities and LGBT people, and a detective, because one of the biggest problems with reducing sexual assault and sexual violence in our communities is that people who are victims or survivors don't come forward. And some of the reasons that they don't come forward is because they don't have faith in the process or they don't understand what's going to happen. So we had a great panel discussion with those people talking about what happens and talking about what's supposed to happen. Because if we can increase the confidence of people who might report an incident, we are more likely to have some sort of an accountability on the part of any perpetrator. And then we also had a speaker, Byron Hurt, who is a national figure. He's actually, I think, worked internationally. He's an anti-sexist activist and a filmmaker, and he did a talk called Locker Room Talk or Toxic Masculinity, and he was looking at the ways in which men and boys are socialized that might contribute toward male violence against women, and to sort of increase awareness among our students and faculty and staff who are in the audience about the ways in which we can prevent that by being engaged bystanders and trying to affect the way we perceive one another's behavior.
I know one of the other projects that has just been finished up here is a well-known one. It's been on campus for over a number of years, the Clothesline Project. Explain
That's
that,
right.
If you will, explain that to our listeners and what came out of, at least from this year's events.
Well, the Clothesline Project is also a national event, and I couldn't even tell you how long it's been around in the country, but this was our fifth year doing it. It's sponsored by, it's a collaborative effort across campus, but primarily sponsored by our Women and Gender Studies program. And the Clothesline Project, it's basically using the idea of the clothesline as a space where women gather to share stories and information about their lives. But what this particular project does is invite people to design T-shirts that speak to either their own experiences of being victims of domestic violence or any sort of sexual violence, and sort of to have a cathartic opportunity to express themselves on the T-shirt. And then we display the T-shirts, it's actually on campus right now in our Moraine Center, mm-hmm. On display for all to see, to sort of show the extent to which this issue touches our community. And it's not just women who do the shirts, it's people all over campus, and it's not just people who have been victims or who are survivors, but also allies who want to weigh in and sort of give their own point of view about what message they want to share with the community about how we can all be more aware about sexual and domestic violence.
We're talking with IU Northwest Dean of Students Beth Tyler about the issues of domestic violence, dating violence as well, because we're talking about young people of college age in many cases, as well as the other issues that come about involving the interaction of men and women and other people on campus and off campus, too, because this is one of the important things that since IU Northwest is a commuter campus, a lot of people, we mentioned at the start of our conversation, bring their problems they may happen to encounter from home or from wherever they happen to live onto campus when they come in for classes and the like. Dean Tyler, I know last year the students got a chance to participate in what is called the Community Activities and Experiences with Sexual Assault Survey. It's a very long survey, and I know there are a lot of different parts and pieces to that, but if you will, give us a highlight of some of the things that you've probably no doubt gone through and looking at the results of it and what you've learned and what you think that IU Northwest officials can do to help students deal with some of these problems.
Sure. We abbreviate that, Chris. We call it the Campus Climate Survey, and it's mm-hmm. something that was done at every IU campus over the past year or so. And the goal was really to try to get a sense of what kinds of issues our students are facing, both before they came to IU Northwest and since they have come here. And what we have found, and what we already kind of knew from basically reporting on campus, is that the students tend to be experiencing much more off campus than on. And the particular challenges that we face that we think that we can assist with are, first of all, increasing students' awareness about the policies and procedures that we have on campus to help them if they do have an incident off campus. Even if it didn't happen on campus, we can often help them think about what their options are or to make sure that whatever experience they have doesn't have a negative influence on their academic work. So we're very interested in increasing awareness around what we can do to help them. We also learned that our students tend to have more experiences with sexual harassment in their lives, and I think it's often student-on-student sexual harassment, and again, that comes to the question of being comfortable saying what is and is not something, a behavior that you want someone to kind of, how you want to be interacted with in the world, and then to make clear to others that you don't want that, and that our students often are having issues at home with domestic and dating violence, right? So we want to do more programming around healthy relationships, informing our students about what sexual harassment is, what they can do to lessen it in their lives, and what we can do and what we want to do to help them if it happens. I think we also have some evidence that, and this is not uncommon in the world today with social media and phones everywhere, that cyber stalking and harassment using those devices is something that our students experience.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got some surprising information about their lack of understanding about consent or their lack of tendency to discuss issues of consent with their partners and in their communities, right? Because so often when somebody ends up in my office, of course it doesn't really happen on our campus, but in a dean's office or in a court because of any sort of an allegation of a sexual misconduct,
right.
Often an issue of consent involved.
Mm-hmm. The university system has what is called the IU Student Welfare Initiative. Will you take a minute to explain what that is and then how IU Northwest participates as one of the campuses in the system?
Sure. The Student Welfare Initiative is a university-wide initiative, and it's basically we have a student welfare officer who's based in Bloomington, and she has a staff, and we all work very closely with her. The initiative is really, the purpose is to coordinate and intensify efforts across all campuses to prevent and respond to assault and any other forms of sexual misconduct. So there are a number of committees that meet. We have a prevention and education committee that I sit on, and we have essentially a conference every month via phone, and then we usually get together at least once a year for various conferences and workshops where we talk about what our various challenges are on our campus. We learn best practices from one another so that we are doing the best that we can to both prevent and educate our students about how they can prevent sexual misconduct on campus. And they provide really great workshops. And one of the things we're working on this year is a strategic plan here at IU Northwest, so that we can make sure to bring our resources to bear in the most effective and efficient ways to address the particular challenges that our students face. And Indiana University has been really helpful in providing resources for us to think about the best way to approach this strategic planning process. And so we have a task force that is working on that strategic plan that has people from all over the IU Northwest campus on it, as staff and faculty and also students, to talk about how we can make sure to tailor our particular programming toward our students and toward our challenges.
Now, finally, Dee Tyler, I'd like to find out a little bit about the efforts that are being made. We talk here so far a lot of things that happen sort of top down, from the leadership down through the ranks, so to speak, faculty and staff, to the students. What are the students trying to do on their own, and you're trying to assist them as the Dean of Students to help get organization in some of the concerns that they may have and create more ongoing programs that will be awareness programs, enlightening people about domestic and dating violence and the other problems?
Well, we have a very active student government, and our student government president and one other student sits on our task force, and they really are invaluable to us because we cannot really reach the broader student body with students assisting us. And so I'm right now working with the president of student government to put together an interest group of other students on campus who have identified themselves over the past year or so as being interested in these issues, so that we can put together a student organization that actually has an administrative structure, an advisor, which may very well be me. We haven't gotten to that stage yet. Mm-hmm. And they're interested in doing some programming. They're focusing on the programming for next spring that will probably largely revolve around healthy relationships and consent. And by creating a student organization, we want to try, so often student activism ebbs and flows on the basis of individual student interests. But by creating an actual registered student organization, we can create that structure that's needed to continue from year to year so that there can be an actual ongoing programming practice. And so I'm working pretty closely with students to try to get the word out to other students so that we can be sure to program according to what they think will be effective. I have lots of ideas, but I'm not always, as a sort of middle-aged administrator, even though I'm pretty plugged into students, I don't always know exactly the right way to reach them.